Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lords of Limited. My name is Ben Warney, and joining me on the line, as always, Mr. Ethan Snowmelt Stag Sachs. You championed this card, and rightly so. Snowmelt Stag is the truth. I'm fully stag-pilled. I'm a stan. I'm a stan for the stag.
Stag stan. Stag stands unite. Thank you very much. I appreciate you shouting out one of the only cards I was actually right about last week.
Get out of here.
You could have been adorned crocodile, Ethan Sachs, whatever. I have some slippers on. I will be moonwalking back some of the takes from last week, but that's what we do. We swing for the fences and then we're back here. But I am excited to talk about what we learned during early access for this format, because it was surprising what transpired over those whatever half a dozen drafts that I did.
Yeah, I think I learned a lot. I played for 8 hours straight. I was live for over 8 hours, which about killed me. I'm a little rusty with the old streaming. I haven't been doing as much of that as I would like the last couple of months, but we did the grind for the folks, for the podcast. So we've got info to dump.
Yeah, so we will be doing a full info dump, our sort of last takes before the set drops tomorrow on Arena and Magic Online. If folks did a pre-release, they got a little taste as well. You can compare your experiences with ours. So let's do a little housekeeping, and then we'll dive into our info dump here. Let's chat about the Patreon page, patreon.com/lordsoflimited, is where folks can go to give back to the show if they so choose. If you are thinking about joining the Patreon, new set season is an excellent time to do it. We are going to have the Discord on fire. The Discord is our like giant chat room of all of our Patreon members that we get to experience a hive mind of like-minded limited individuals talking about the new set, breaking it open, sharing tier lists, pack zero, pick one choices, and then diving into the format day one, sharing what's the picks, what's the build, what's the play, trophy deck dumps, all that good stuff is going to be happening in the Discord. And you also get access, if you want, on a higher tier, access to our episode a day early ad-free, and access to a bonus mini episode on Lords Unlimited, where we're talking all things, talking Magic, Cube, reality television, whatever we want, it's unlimited, and it's a lot of fun over there. So if any or all of that is of interest to you, head on over to the Patreon page, and we want to shout out our new patrons the first week that they join. This week, we're welcoming Joey, Neral, Florian, Edward, Xylotism, Pat, Vandre, Christopher, Legend of Scarf, Joe, and John. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate your support.
Yeah, cannot say thank you enough. And also can't say thank you enough to the people who gave us positive feedback about the Crash Course. You know, we took a big overhaul on that, and it seems like the feedback was great. And also, I think most importantly, you and I felt really good about it after we were done recording.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's a little bit of a slog, I feel like, going through editing the Crash Course, and it's a lot of work. But at the end of last week, I messaged Ben. I was like, this is way better. Like, it was just way more enjoyable. I felt like listening back to it, it was just a lot more easy to clock. Now, that being said, we've got some updates and some changes to our takes, our suppositions. Not saying that we got like a ton wrong, but like there are a lot of changes, at least for myself, about how I'm approaching the format. And the big one, this feels like another slow format. What's that? 2025? Is there, we're putting tariffs on one drops? Like, what's going on here? Because this is another pretty slow format. And you said you may think it's even slower than Etherdrift.
I think this is slower than Etherdrift. Yeah. There's not max speed to account for. There's no deck that punishes you for not being on board earlier or taking some damage early. I am fine using my life total as a resource to get down to 12, 10, 8. Like, there's not a lot of good reach other than going wide. And there's insanely powerful cheap removal in the cycle of exhales and some other cards in the format. The exhales are chef's kiss.
Yeah, the exhales are incredible. They're really, I mean, you shouted them out. You're like, those are all gimmies on the notable commons list. And I was like, yeah, I co-signed that. But I didn't quite realize what like a sort of format warping thing was going to happen, or for me at least right now, format warping of every color gets cheap interaction at common. That's, I started to do that like halfway through early access. I was like, how are aggro decks supposed to compete when every color gets 2-mana Doomblade?
I mean, it's not that much of an exaggeration.
It's kind of tough. And yes, like the blue Doomblade is a counterspell and the green Doomblade is a fight spell and it takes setup, blah, blah, blah. But like, there's just so much cheap interaction. And I think the way that you do get around it, as we'll talk about later, is by going wide and sort of nullifying, like making all of your cards terrible and small does nullify the spot removal a little bit.
But it also does make your cards terrible and small, which is a drawback.
An excellent point, sir. So the big pillar of the format for me right now, or one of my truths for the format, is like fixing cheap interaction, card advantage, and obviously haymakers are what feel like matter in the format. Like just those sort of raw card quality things are my takeaways from early access.
Yeah, I agree. And we haven't chatted about this ahead of time. And I think we've come to a lot of the same conclusions about the format, which, again, Lords of Limited Echo Chamber, we keep saying that, but it really isn't an echo chamber because we come to the same conclusions separately. It's not like we're talking to each other and we're like, hey, I think this, and then we start to incept each other. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked at all prior to recording this episode, really, and putting our things in the show notes, but we're putting, you know, similar thoughts in the show notes. I agree. Curious to see, did you pre-release at all?
I didn't do a pre-release, but on Thursday morning after I dropped Joan off at daycare, I came back and I streamed for a few hours. And by that point in early access, they remove the person draft. So if you want to draft, it's quick draft. And I was like, maybe I'll do a sealed just to see. And I think regular sealed may be fine for this format, but the seeded pack sealed of it all, I found horrible. It was just like juiced hyper versions of the archetypes battling against each other, which I found extremely unfun to participate in. So that's my two cents about sealed.
Yeah, I didn't do that kind of sealed. So my brother and I just busted out some old school kitchen table magic. And I asked him, I was like, do you want to do the sealed pre-release kits or do you just want to do packs? And he was like, oh, let's do packs. That's more realistic. So we just got 12 packs, each cracked open a sealed pool and did a kitchen table pre-release sealed at my house yesterday evening, which was amazing.
Nice.
Would recommend. Two thumbs up. It was super fun to just hang out and play some magic with him. But I had good decks. I built a great, I had like an Abzan pre-con almost without any Abzan seeded packs. And he had a really strong teamer deck. But the games came down to the rares for sure. Like every single game went long and came down to who drew their bomb rares.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that a little bit in the games as well when I was drafting during early access, is that there were cards that mattered and there were cards that didn't. And the person who could draw more cards and draw more cards that mattered, like, won the game a lot. There was not a ton of interesting synergistic stuff going on. It was card advantage, removal, haymakers. Exactly what you said.
Well, and the point about card advantage dovetails into my next bullet point nicely, which is that going into day one, I am of the mind that blue is the best color. And as you said last week, teamer is the best clan. I know you had eyes for blue. You had a lot of love for blue. You weren't sure if that was the best advice. I currently feel like it is. And part of it is because I think it gets cheap interaction, gets to play at instant speed, and has a number of great draw three spells.
Yes, it's the best thing blue does, and I played a lot of blue during early access. Like I said last week, that was what I wanted to play. I got a little too lost in the sauce of trying to play true draw go control decks. My very first game of the format, I decked myself naturally because I there was no way I was going to lose, but I didn't have enough win cons in my deck. Naturally decked myself several times over the course of early access for whatever that tells you about the format, which I think is that it's slow. And that you do have the tools to make the games go long if you want to. Mm-hmm. But I will say, having played a lot of Drago control decks and played against some blue decks that are very good, it's nearly impossible to make good decisions playing against a blue deck with open mana. Like, yes. Especially once they hit five mana and they have the ability to do multiple things. Like, maybe they can counter your thing with the exhale and then play a Focus the Mind, draw three, discard one. Like, you have to be so careful about what you do. And the blue player has all the information, whether that's you or your opponent. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you need to go like ham and only play like a three creature, four creature, whatever. You just need to put the package of instant speed cards in your deck so that on key turns you can pass with the mana up when you want to.
I wonder, it reminds me of my days of grinding Pioneer and playing against blue-white control. And you sort of like, because you knew the kinds of cards they were playing, you could kind of like craft how you like, okay, well, I know that they are going to want to play this kind of card this turn, so I'll force them to counter instead so they don't get to use all their mana, whatever, things like that. In limited, I just feel like you have to be like, play this, call, like, whatever. I hope you're bluffing, hope you don't have a counter spell this turn, because like you just don't have the knowledge of the cards they're running like you do in Constructed. It's hard when blue gets all those tools in a limited format like that, because it makes playing against them, as you said, really tough.
Yeah, the combination of counterspell in the blue exhale, and there's an uncommon counterspell as well, plus Focus the Mind being way better than, I mean, I liked that card, but it has been way better than even I anticipated in those blue decks. Like, I would jam happily, I think, 3 Focus the Minds easily in all of my blue decks right now, maybe a fourth.
Yeah.
It's been very impressive. And then the cheap instant speed interaction from all of the colors has just been really strong. So like you get a hold up counter magic, card draw, removal, like that's the holy trinity, and it's been very good.
And there aren't, like, there's almost no one drops in the format. And so people, it's really hard, I think, to get under that strategy effectively. I will say the one time I felt really like, oh no, was a card, my opponent played a card on turn one that I was had sort of written off, which is the single red 2/2 with haste that you have to pick up every turn. And so like, it's sort of the joke is that it helps you with the double spell with the flurry triggers. But I was like, oh no, wait, a 1-mana 2/2 with haste is going to hit me for like 8 damage before I play a stag or something, you know, and I don't want to waste a removal spell on it because I'm trading down on mana and I'm so used to trading up on mana with my removal. Anyway, so for me right now, I like blue the best. I like what it offers the best. And going back to the points about the format, fixing cheap interaction, card advantage, and haymakers, there's a ton of mana fixing in the format. And whether or not that starts to dry up and there's a pinch on it later, but like I have this point a little bit lower down, but like there's Evolving Wilds, there's Gain Lands, there's Tri Lands, there's Monuments, which we'll talk about, there's the Devotees, there's Sagu Wildling, the split card Omen that's a single green, search up a basic and put it into your hand. There's more green fixing than that. There's just like so much ability to play the cards you want to play right now, that like, yeah, I like blue the best, but I'm not wrapped up in, okay, well then, so I'm blue, and then that means I have to be either base blue green or base blue red or whatever. I am much more happy to be in the soup and the muck and splash around right now.
Yes, I certainly think that's plan A, and I'm sure we'll talk about that more over the course of the episode. I still think I've got green as the best color ahead of blue. It's really close, and it's hard to know with the sample sizes we have. I think your takeaway as a listener should be that both green and blue are very good.
Correct.
Rather than that one of us is right and the other is wrong. But I think I've got green ahead of blue because of what we talked about. It's similar to the Aether Drift thing. Like, green just gets to play cards that on rate are better than all of the other colors' cards. They're bigger, they've got reach. Like, if you're trying to be white and going wide, once green plays its first 3-drop or its first 4-drop, it's really hard for you to have good attacks without going wide and then also having pump for your going wide. And then green, as we said last week, does get tons of good fixing. And I do think the format's really play 3, play 4 colors, play all your good cards, you know, just cast bombs and win. Like, the games go long. I think green is good at playing to the board and getting the games to go long and getting you to splash all of the cards that you want to splash. So I think I've still got green ahead of blue, but I am in agreement that Teemer's the best clan and blue and green are certainly the two best colors. I think if I had to stake my claim right now, I would say green slightly ahead of blue, and then put red in third place, which is a pretty big mover up from where we had it last week, largely because of how well it plays in the Teemer space. And then I think I'd have black in fourth and white in fifth. But we recorded Lords Unlimited, which is our bonus podcast, first before this, which is a little unusual for us. And you were saying you're down on black. Are you down on black enough that you think you'd have it behind white?
I think so. I think they're just like, I don't really like black or white's like individual monocolored cards that much, but the ones in white that I do like, I like more than the ones I like in black. Like, I'm looking at black's commons or uncommons that are monocolored, and there's not much that I like. Like, I like Caustic Exhale, but I certainly like the white exhale more than that because it deals 5 instead of -3/-3. And that's like about it. I guess I like Nightblade Brigade, the 2 and a black 1/3 death touch, mobilize 1 when it enters surveil 1. Beyond that, I don't like much of what black has to offer.
Okay, interesting. But I think more than anything, certainly black and white probably bringing up the rear for us at the moment.
Right. And I think like that it's a far cry from where I was last week, where I was like, Abzan's the best because green and black and black and white are going to be your best like enemy color pairs. I like all the card quality. There's, because I don't see a clear aggro deck in the format, and I think the aggro deck will be Boros Go Wide. I think that's the best aggro deck, but it's not very prevalent. And so what happens is that there's no aggro, so then it's mid-range versus control, and control beats mid-range.
Yes.
And so Abzan is mid-range. It's like just doing a little bit of value in the middle stuff, and then Blue's like, cool, draw three, make 2 5/5s, and Abzan is like, oh, I didn't know we could do that. That was my experience on Wednesday, and that's why I'm a lot lower on black and white and Abzan.
Well, and there is also a bit of tension in the Abzan space. Like, I was worried about this, but I felt it. There's tension in the Abzan space about whether you're getting the cards that want you to go wide, because black-white does presumably want to go wide some amount of the time, too, versus the counters and going tall. But if you're going wide, you have to have reasons to go wide. Going wide isn't enough in and of itself. And I had an Abzan deck that was great at going wide, but could never attack into a 4-4 reach from green. And maybe that's user error on how we're building the decks. And we see this with a lot of formats. Usually it is the reverse of this, where, you know, the aggro decks are plan A, and it takes a while to figure out how to build the control decks to combat the aggro decks. I anticipate that this format's going to be the reverse. Like the green blue late game decks are going to be plan A and the easiest, most obvious thing to figure out how to build. And it is going to take some work to figure out the exact right mix of how do you go wide? How do you take advantage of having gone wide? Like that is trickier to do to me at face value in this format after playing with the cards.
The other thing is, like, not only just does blue give you access to raw card draw in like its number of draw three spells that it has, but green and blue sits in that overlap of the two card advantage mechanics as well, with Harmonize and Renew. And not that Renew is like actually card advantage, but it is some amount of rectangle, whatever, that you get some counters from your creature that dies and you get to dump them on another card. Like, that's some amount of value. And then Harmonize is just actually another card. And black
Harmonize
and white
is
just...
Harmonize is incredible. Harmonize
black and white
is,
don't get any of that.
Right. Yeah. So, and Teemer, all of those things, Harmonize being broken, you getting the resources from the graveyard, you just get power level also on cards. I think all of that is why Teemer is the best. The 5/5 elephant tokens running around in Teemer are just huge compared to most other things.
That spell, the Mammoth Bellow, the two Teemer make a 5/5 with Harmonize for 5 in Teemer, that card is busted.
Yeah, like, it's 2 5/5s.
Why does Teemer get to do that? Just 2 5/5s. Just straight up. There you go. Have fun. Like, that card is wild. And 5/5 is just absolutely massive in the format.
Yes, it's very large. And one of the things we're starting to get towards as a broader thing is that Teemer gets to play great cards and doesn't need to do extra work. Like, it's got the best power. It's got the best card advantage. And in addition to that, if you're playing all those good cards, it does get some synergy too. The good cards synergize with each other because your great rate creatures let you cast your Harmonize cards for 1 mana, 2 mana, and Harmonize is a totally broken mechanic, cost reduction mechanic. One of the interesting things about the five mechanics, I was trying to think about how to frame this format for people. The five mechanics aren't particularly synergy driven in and of themselves, right? Like, Mobilize lets you go wide, but then you have to do more work to go wide and take advantage of that. And there aren't great ways to take advantage of that in the format. There's some, but they're few and far between. And you also have to hope that in the meantime, your mobilized creatures haven't been picked off by your opponent's great spot removal. Mm-hmm. So there's that. In black, you've got the counter synergy going on. But again, you're trying to do work with your black counter synergy to build up a power level that's equal to what green and blue are just doing by casting cards, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not like the Aether Drift thing. Like, in Aether Drift, I was like, greens, whatever, you know, artifact synergy is where it's at. There were highly synergistic decks in Aether Drift to fight the green raw card quality menace. That is not the case here. There's not a sum of its parts the way there was with all in artifacts or whatever in this format. So you've got those two mechanics. You've got Harmonize, which is great, which Teemer gets. You've got Renew, which is whatever. Like, that's some incidental value over the course of a long game. But it's not like you're building a Renew deck the way you would build an artifact deck, for example, in Aether Drift. And then the last mechanic is Flurry, which, again, isn't a synergy-driven mechanic. Like, you're just double-spelling. You're doing a thing that naturally happens in the course of a game of Magic.
And is naturally good.
Yeah, it's naturally good, and the Teemer deck probably gets to do it the best because it has so much mana. Yeah. I mean, and Jeskai can do it too, but it's so much easier to do defensively in the format to defensively double spell than it is to offensively double spell. And again, there's those cards, like the biggest issue, and I think this is maybe an overarching takeaway going into formats. We've seen this now back to back with Aether Drift and this format, is when the aggressive mechanics don't actually help you attack, it's really tough. Like, your mobilized creatures are small. They're not good at attacking. Your flurry creatures, like there's that red, white, 3/3 gold card that when you double spell, your opponent takes 2 damage, you gain 2 life. That's a nice bonus. It doesn't help your 3/3 attack into green's 4/4. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so I think that for me, at least, I'm kind of lodging that in the back of my mind because I'm predisposed to see the control stuff and the synergy stuff before I see the aggro stuff. But trying to look out for, do the aggressive deck's mechanics make the aggressive deck better at attacking and pushing damage? And I don't think that's necessarily the case here.
Well, and I think that brings us to one of our problems with white aggro decks and the mobilized cards is that they are understated and there isn't a lot of ways to take advantage of going wide. There's a couple ways to pump 2 creatures. There's like a red common +2/+1 to 2 things. There's a white uncommon +2/+2 to 2 things. The best way is, what's it called? War Effort, that the enchantment, the red 4-mana enchantment that gives +1/+0 to your whole team. Like, that is a key card, I think, to making go wide viable in the format.
I agree. That card's a huge mover up for me. My opponent played that one time and I thought I was fine. And then they played that and I was like, oh, definitely not fine. Okay, this going wide thing does make sense when you have ways to pump. But the issue is, like, you gotta have the ways to pump and the tokens, and it's gotta come together in the draw, and your things have to not get picked off. And then you're trying to do this small ball synergy stuff in a format that provides just great cards at great rates.
Yes. Like 5-mana 5/5 with flashback.
Yes.
What about the +1/+1 counter stuff that's going on? Like, going wide is tough. Is going tall tough?
I think it is also because, like, black has the counter stuff going on. And this is one of the things that I don't like about black is, let's say you're in on black and you're in on counters. You're, again, trying to do synergistic things in a format that's not primarily about synergy. Like, I do think the format is about, like, probably in this order, bombs, card advantage and removal at like a 50-50 rate or something, maybe like 60-40 in favor of removal. And then you need the fixing to cast all of those cards. And if you can pick up the premium fixing and get the bombs, like this, we talked about last week, the Tarkir strategy of like, hey, draft all lands, then you can play all the good cards. This format is closer to that than it is not.
Yes.
I haven't actually done that for science yet. I haven't gone like land. Let me see what I can do. But based on how 8 hours of early access felt, I feel pretty confident that is probably a viable strategy.
I think for sure it is. I mean, it's more like land, exhale, land, monument, I think. But like the sentiment is there for sure.
Yes.
Which brings me to the episode title, and how I don't know how much you or our listeners are appreciating this 30-year-old pop culture reference of waiting to exhale, but the cycle of exhales is like, that is the format for me right now. Like, the 2-mana removal spells at common, largely not the green one, not because I don't think that is a good card, but just because my decks that I'm drafting right now have like sub 10 creatures and a fight spell isn't exactly where I want to be at in those decks. But the rest of them are awesome. It makes it really hard for aggro to be viable. And they're just like such cheap, single pipped, excellent ways to interact. They're awesome cards. They're like the premium commons for me right now.
So if you had to rank the cycle, what's the power rankings? Red 1?
I think white 1 for me because it deals 5 and it potentially gains you 2. That's like everything that the deck wants. Then it's a toss up for me. I kind of want to say blue 2. I know you're a little, I think I'm higher on the blue 1. That's the counter spell unless they pay 2. And then if you have a dragon, if you behold a dragon, it's counter unless they pay 4. The fact that it counters anything, it's not like just a creature or whatever. Like, and people are like, especially in the, like, it's good early against people who are trying to play whatever 2-mana, 3-mana plays against you. And it's also pretty good late at, like, people are tapping out even on whatever, when they've got six mana, like you can get stuff later in the game. I really like that. I think for me, probably white one, red two, blue three, black four, green five for the exiles.
I could get on board with that ranking. So to dive into the blue one, because I played with the blue one a lot during early access, I think one thing for all of these cards that you want to do that I did not do a good job of doing in early access and intend to do moving forward is you want to pick up incidental dragons. Like the cycle of common omen dragons is better than you think it is just by virtue of the fact that they are dragons that then when you can't cast them, you can cash them away for another card, but they'll sit in your hand as dragons if you want that effect for the exhales. You do have to sort of go out of your way a little bit to end up with five dragons, for example. Like if you don't make an effort, you're going to end up with one or two, which isn't enough to make your exhales consistently turned on.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think like it's most important for the blue one would be my take. Like gain two for white is nice, not necessary. Instant speed for red, nice, not necessary. It certainly makes the card better. But blue, the counter, unless they pay four, really turns it from like turns it from quench into nearly a hard counter spell, I think.
Right. And so that's why I was down on it. I was very rarely, if ever, making people pay four, like because I didn't have the dragons in my deck because I was so stuck on, well, I'm going to be draw, go, control. And I was running like three, four, five creature decks during early access to not much success, to be clear. Like, I don't think that's where you should be. But I also think if your plan is to hold up mana quite a bit and you're not pressuring your opponent, they don't have to play into your blue exhale. Like, so there were a lot of times in games where once my opponents figured out, oh, that's what he's up to, like we were just pass, go, pass, go, pass, go. And they were waiting until they could pay for the blue exhale and were able to invalidate it in a lot of my games. But I think that was partially misbuilding on my part and whatever. I'm on board with the blue exhale being a very good card.
It's a lot harder to, it's easier to do that when it's only pay two. It's really hard to be like, I'll just wait four turns and then cast my two drop. Is like, okay, great. That's what I want you to do anyway.
Right.
And the more that you have to do at instant speed, which I'm sure you did, but like the more you have to do, if your opponent is like, all right, I guess I'll pass and not play into your counter spell, the more you can go, cool, now I'll cycle this dragon or I'll cast my focus the mind or cast a removal spell, whatever, the better that is.
I will say also, just in regard to the exhales and playing control, I think control is a great place to be in the format. You do need to make sure you have a way to win the game, but good ways to win the game. Like I was able to very easily draft decks that couldn't lose, but it was hard to win sometimes. Like I made the game go till I had three, four, or five cards left in my deck, and then my opponents were just able to deck me. So I think careful as you're drafting these styles of decks early on to make sure that you've got a reason to want the game to go long too, outside of just the instant speed card draw package and things like that.
Can I interest you in our Lord and Savior Jadecast Sentinel? 4 mana for a 1/5 reach, pay 2, tap, put target card from a graveyard on the bottom of its owner's library.
You can interest me in that card like, quite a bit. I never had it and I wanted it so much.
This card, it like, I know this sounds like week 5 Ethan talking about Epitaph Golem or whatever.
It's not. I co-sign this take.
This card is real. It just does. It does a lot. Like not only does it stop you from decking, but it bounces. It's a 1/5 with reach. So it bounces off 4/4 dragons. It removes. I have done this already. Removed my opponent's renew or harmonize cards from their graveyard. It triggers your own stuff that cares about leave the graveyard. And most importantly, I think stops you from decking in your control decks, which you said it happened to you. It also happened to me. I lost a like real nail biter game against Lola in early access with an excellent control deck. And I was like, oh, my question during deck building was like, I wonder if I should include Jadecast Sentinel. Then I lost this close game because I decked. And then I was like, the answer is yes. And I will now bring it in. And it's a real player in these kinds of decks.
So a couple things about this card. I think this should be on our list of commons that matter. I think it is that good in the format. But also, I feel like we have a bit of the boy who cried wolf with this type of card because we always have eyes. We're like, oh, maybe we need this card.
From Duskmourn.
Yeah, but I swear to you all, this time it's good. Like, I promise.
It really is a wolf. It's coming. Yeah. Are there any other big picture things you want to touch on before we start talking about some individual cards?
I think we should talk about fixing, because we were doing this a bit in Lords Unlimited. My current benchmark for the format is, am I taking a card above or below the Trilands and Evolving Wilds? And I was trying to peg you down on some stuff like that. And you were saying that fixing's everywhere. I have not found that in my drafts. And I certainly think as people warm up to the format, and if we're right, and I think we are, about blue and green being the best, and about Teemer being the best clan, and it being a late game style format, kind of a soupy format, I think the fixing is going to keep going up in people's pick orders. And I think you're going to have to spend real picks on fixing. So like, while I think the format is uninteresting in some senses, in that like, I think you're incentivized highly to build towards the late game, and the people with the best cards are going to win a lot, I do think the drafts are going to be really interesting, because there's a lot of tension about, well, do you pick this piece of fixing here, or do you pick the card draw spell, and which are you more likely to see a copy of? Because you're going to need it all, like, to build the style of decks that go for the late game.
I think our listeners are going to get it. I think people don't like drafting lands. I think drafting lands is not fun, and I don't think people like to do it. Like, I will first pick an Evolving Wilds all day, but I don't, I would be, I'm sure if you're whatever, if you're drafting in pod, if you're doing a RCQ at your LGS and you're in a top eight, like, yes, I imagine fixing will be scarce or at a premium. I think on your Wednesday morning draft on Arena, your Friday night draft on Arena, I don't buy it. Even week three, week four, I just don't think people are going to take lands that highly.
That's fair. Well, I mean, we'll have to see as the format shakes out. But regardless, you, dear listeners, should be picking lands, I think, pretty aggressively, and just making sure that you can cast your cards, because there are so many good cards to go around at higher rarities. And if you're the one that can take them and draw them and cast them and stay alive while doing so, I think you're going to win a lot of games.
And I think we'll state this again, but this is one of my takes last week was like, I think this is a base two color format with a light splash, whatever. And like, you want to find like that sort of outside inside out thing we were talking about like draft a monocolor and then whatever pairs with it and then figure out the thing. Like, I'm less concerned about that. I just am more concerned about that idea of, okay, do I have a benchmark of these cards are better than lands? Then I will take them. And if these cards are below lands, then I will just take lands instead. And my decks have looked a lot soupier, a lot more just whatever, four colors. And sure, I've got a base color, but just if the mana fixing is abundant at your table, you don't have to think about, like, yeah, you got to build your deck well, but you don't have to think about so clearly what are my base two colors as I thought you did.
Well, and I think some of that is a result of white and or aggro decks falling flatter than we expected them to. Like, I expected there to be some real tension between wanting to go long and wanting to be aggressive, and could you survive against the aggressive onslaught? And maybe we just weren't building the aggro decks right day one. They've got to be there in some capacity, because not everybody can play three and four color soup for pot. So I don't want to set the format up to seem that way, but I do think if you are going to be aggressive, I just want to hammer home that if you're white, you really want to try to go wide. I think I agree that red-white is better than black-white.
I also wonder if white-green, even though it's an allied color pair, could be a sneaky, secret, good aggro deck in the format, because it gets to take, like, the good green on-rate cards, get to then beat down rather than play defensively.
Sure. Yeah, I could see it. But I just want to encourage you, like, that if you're going wide and you're being aggressive with white, you got to have ways to take advantage of having gone wide. Like, I don't think the going wide in and of itself is enough.
I agree.
All right, that takes us on to notable commons. Ossia's Exhale, the white deal five. Over or under Trilands Evolving Wilds?
Over for me.
I think I'm under.
Wait, what? Really?
I think I'm taking Trilands and Evolving Wilds over every common, I think.
Oh, okay. I am not doing that with the Jeskai Exhales.
That's fair. But I think that also, some of that is a function of you being bluer and me being greener. I think, like, with me wanting to be base green more. I think if I were a firm believer in blue's the best color, definitely want to be blue control, I think I would be more into taking some of the cheap removal higher. Okay. But I, like, some of my, like, when I'm valuing green, like, some of my green defensive bodies do similar things to the exhales, like, as far as slowing the game down. And so then I value the fixing higher because I want to make sure I can play the best bomb rares that I see.
Okay. How about Stormplane Detainment, the 2 and a white enchantment that enters and exiles something until they remove the enchantment?
That card's fine. I agree it is worse than the white exhale, the Osseous Exhale. It's been good, not great, is how I would say. Like, kind of a necessary, yeah, I'll play it if I need some more interaction. It certainly doesn't pull me into white.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But it does matter.
Okay, blue cards that I think really matter. Dispelling Exhale, obviously. Focus the Mind, we've talked about already. That's the 4 and a blue instant, draw 3, discard a card, costs 2 less to cast if you've cast a spell that turn. And our Lord and Savior, Snowmelt Stag, the 3 and a blue, 2/5 Vigi, 5/2 on your turn, and you can pay 7 mana to make it unblockable until end of turn.
We haven't talked enough about what this card does. This card does
everything.
Everything. It does it all. I mean, plays offense. And yes, like it, your opponent can trade with it, like with their 2-drop or whatever, but they have to then leave that 2-drop back to trade with it. Like, they have to account for Snowmelt Stag potentially attacking as a 5/2. On your turn, it has 5 power, which is totally broken with harmonized cards, reducing your harmonized cards by 5. Not only that, if your opponent doesn't have a blocker, sometimes you get to attack for 5 with Vigilance and then play a harmonized card second main phase with the Stag, which is broken. And late game, if it's still around, it just wins when you pay 7 mana to make it unblockable. It slows the game down. It works with Harmonize, which is the game's best mechanic. Not the game's best mechanic, but this format's best mechanic, most powerful mechanic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This card does everything you would want for 4 mana, and it's single pipped. Like, this very easily could have been 2 blue-blue. It's 3 and a blue.
I love this card. I don't think, as we did on Lords Unlimited this week, you don't have to take it as highly currently. Like, it's not as necessary in my mind as the cheap interaction is for the control decks. Like, if you don't get Stag, you'll probably get something that is defensive speed and something that'll win you the game. It's just nice that Stag does all of that and is a common.
Yes. Caustic Exhale is up next. That's a black exhale. Really like this card. Cheap interaction. There's not much more to say. It's a very efficient removal spell.
Is there any other... Okay, let's talk about this. I was going to say, is there any other black card, black common, that you think is notable? And there is one that you do, which is very funny because we have a list of movers up and movers down coming, and you put this on your list of movers up, and I put this on my list of movers down, and that card is Worthy Cost. Single black, as an additional cost to cast it, sack a thing, and you get to exile a creature your opponent controls.
Yeah, I've been impressed when it's enabled. The problem is it's hard to enable it. Like, and if you're wondering... You know, we were talking about the tension of, do you block mobilized tokens if you've got a creature that can block them, that sort of thing. The plan A is to just put your creature in front of the mobilized token every time. Like, don't let the mobilized tokens get through, because there's things like this to do with the tokens. And these cards are better, I think, largely than the combat tricks. But when it's enabled, it's been impressive. Like, 1 mana trading with your 4, 5, 6 mana play, your dragon, has been really good.
I know I'm going to have to, but just currently, I don't know. I don't have the fodder for this. And so I don't want to put this card in my deck.
It's fair. I mean, I agree. It is the overarching problem we've talked about with Mardu or Abzan versus Temur, is that you're playing small ball cards and hoping to combine them to a power level that is equal to what the Temur deck gets to do naturally.
So you would never splash this as a removal spell, probably.
God, no. No.
So this is going in black, white, or black, green when you've got Endure or Mobilize.
Yeah,
I think even sacking Endure is terrible. Yeah,
I agree. It's hopefully Mobilize, but the problem is it's hard to get your Mobilize tokens to survive combat. That's why, you know, on Lords Unlimited, we were talking about that 1/3 flyer. That's why I really like that 1/3 flyer.
Yeah,
because it lets your Mobilize tokens survive combat. I think if you can find ways to reliably get your Mobilize tokens to survive combat, the mechanic's really interesting. The problem is it just doesn't happen very often without a lot of work from you.
Ben's talking about Starry-Eyed Skyrider. It's 2 and a white for a 1/3 flyer. When it attacks, it gives another target creature you control flying until end of turn, and attacking tokens you control have flying, which is really key. I mean, it's not a go-wide effect for your tokens, right? It's not a trumpet blast, but it lets them attack, which is really important.
Yeah. To be clear, I like Caustic Exhale infinitely more than Worthy Cost.
Yeah. But it's such a far cry from... last week when I was like, black's at the intersection of the two best, blah, blah, blah. I like black's commons a lot. Like, so many of black's commons and even uncommons, I just feel like are so small ball. Like, a card that I thought I was going to like, Kintree Nurturer, 2 and a black, 2 on lifelink when it enters Endure 1. I don't think that particularly matters.
It just can't attack into anything from green. The
card I had as my best black uncommon, Gurmag Rakshasa, 4 black, black, 5/5 menace. When it enters, it gives a thing -2/-2 until end of turn, and a thing you control +2/+2 until end of turn. Doesn't matter. My opponent cast this multiple times, and there were no targets. I didn't have anything that was small enough to kill with this. Like, it just...
Like, Stag's a 2/5 on their turn.
Right. Sorry. What are you going to do? And then all of Black, like, Black's removal that kills bigger things is so expensive. It's 4 mana, or Dragon's Prey is 3 mana, or 5 mana if it's targeting a dragon, and, like, I just like my exhales better.
Yes. Molten Exhale, not much to say. It's great. 2 mana, deal 4. You love that. A card that is excellent that I had questions about, but, like, has way overperformed, is Narset's Rebuke. It's 4 and a red, deal 5 to something, exile it if it would die, which is also relevant, and then you get a rebate of 3 Jeskai mana.
Which is great to cast Focus the Mind with. Like, Narset's Rebuke into Focus the Mind is the groan test of the format. Like, you feel like you can't lose when you do it, and you feel like you can't win when your opponent does it.
Hell of a drug. Hell of a drug.
Hell of a drug. I put Sagu Wildling on this list. That's the 4 and a green, 3/3 dragon. When it enters, gain 3 life, and then has the Omen, single green, search up a basic, and Evolving Wilds as well to round out my list of notable commons.
Yeah, I like Sagu Wildling, and I think I appreciate you putting this on here. I think just looking at this on the list made me move it up in my pick order, because this is what I was messing up. Is like, this is better just by virtue of it being a dragon.
Yes.
Like, it gets some amount of points for just being a dragon.
Being a dragon in your hand.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, not nothing. Like, so for example, a card you have on your movers down list that I could be convinced is a movers down is Einok Wayfarer, which is the 1 and a green 1/1 ETB mill 3. You can pick up a land from your graveyard of the milled 3 cards, and if you don't, it gets a +1/+1 counter.
So I had this in a deck with 16 lands. I whiffed 4 times in a row.
That's just unlucky, though. Which
is Ben Wernie levels of unlucky. But as you were a big Phalagi Archaeologist hater.
Yes.
Because when it misses, it does nothing. When this misses, it does nothing. And it's such a big difference. Like, the fact that you only get to select from the milled cards. You can't, if you cracked Evolving Wilds, not like Pothole Mole, you don't get to then get that back. It's just so bad. When you play a 2-mana 2/2 mill 3, when it doesn't get a land, it's horrible. Like, I don't care about this card. And there's not enough, like, yes, there's a little harmonized, yes, there's a little renewed. There's not enough stuff where I'm like, I'm happy just to mill 3. I am not happy just to mill 3 in this format, personally.
Yeah, I kind of buy all that. I do think if you move up Trade Route Envoy in your pick order, which is the 3 and a green, 4/3, that when it enters, if you have a thing with a counter on it, you get a draw card. You're a little happier with Einok Wayfarer missing on a land. And not that you're happy, but it is more acceptable of a loss.
But sir, you told me this is not a synergy format.
It's not. I agree. Like, I agree. I can be talked into Einok Wayfarer moving down. And I think one of the things I am going to do as a result of just seeing the Sagu Wildling on there, which is the green, search up a land, and then it's a dragon, 3/3, gain 3. I think that card is better than Einok Wayfarer. And I don't think I had that situated in my head, and I think I do now.
I think that's green's best common.
That I am not ready to quite co-sign yet. Not because I don't believe you, but I just want more experience playing with all of the good cards.
Like, yeah,
I just haven't done enough to be able to say, put the stamp on it or not.
So the other two green commons that I like on that you put on this list, one is Sagu Pummeler, the 4-mana 4/4 reach with renew, puts, what, 2 counters on a thing for 5 mana plus a reach counter. That's awesome. And Dusyet Earthcarver, mea culpa. We talked about this in the previews episode, and we were both like, eh, this is a D, whatever. Like, nope, this is just, I called this, I think, your swoliness. Like, this is just very large. It's the 5 and a green, 4/4 reach with Endure 3, largely going to be a 4/4 and a 3/3, which is problematic.
Problematic for sure. So I do think green gets a lot of good cards.
Yes.
The question I have for you about Einok Wayfarer, and I think I already have the answer to this. If you're not putting Einok Wayfarer in your 2-drop slot, like, what 2-drops are you running in the format?
From green? This is why I
just
don't
in,
like...
in colors, happily.
None? Like, I'm not... Exhales are my two drops. Exhales
exactly.
And, that's, exhales that's and monuments.
Was, that hadn't quite clicked for me yet. I was thinking, like, well, Einoc Wafer's got to be good. You have to run two drops. But your two drops should be interaction.
Yeah.
Is what it should be, rather yeah. than...
So either you're... Because either your opponent is playing Einoc Wafer because they think they have to play to the board, and you go, no, I'll remove it, or I'll blank it with a stag. Or then you're both playing the same game, and your two drop trades with their five drop later in the game.
Correct. Yeah. And you don't want to be the one who's playing the Einoc Wafer against the person who's playing all of the exhales. Like you want your two drops to be interaction. But that's a far cry from where we've been for the last several years of Magic, right?
Yes.
Like so many formats have defaulted to play to the board, turn your creature sideways. That's like game plan A. And I don't think, like, I think you're going to have a really bad time in this format if that's game plan A, because, and again, not to say that you can't do it, but that's the deck that's going to take extra work and extra figuring for how to make it work, in my opinion.
And also will require a bit of a shift. It will require the things that we are excited about and the strategies we're talking about to dry up, to be contested.
Like, yes.
Like, that has to happen first before I go... Okay, how do I make white go wide work?
Yeah. Okay, a couple other cards to shout. Riverwalk Technique, 3 and a blue for the instant, put something on top or bottom, or counter a non-creature spell. This being a hard counter for a non-creature spell, like, I'm more interested in that part of the card than I am a top or bottom, and you're willing, I think, to pay 4 mana for that effect in this format. Because there are such a plethora of options to do when you're blue, when you hold up mana, mm-hmm. including that as one of the options, while also being able to interact with the board, is really strong.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like I'm definitely not taking it. Well, you already said you're taking all the fixing over all the commons. But for me, this is below Evolving Wilds and Trilands or whatever. And like, I'm happy playing, currently my take on Riverwalk Technique, happy playing one in all my blue decks. But I also don't think I will be, am I going to miss it at the end of a draft? I don't know.
Yeah, but that's fair. I do think you want at least a copy in blue decks.
Yeah.
One goes a long way. And as far as my lands over all the commons take, that's going to shift depending on how you're drafting, right? Like my plan going into the first day of the format is to be base green, hopefully pairing it with blue and using lands to splash the good cards that touch blue and green, which you can basically, if you're base green, you can basically play any card you want.
Play whatever
you
want.
As long as you build a responsible mana base too. But I don't want to like set viewers up to be like, well, Ethan and Ben said we could play whatever we want and still have a garbage mana base. You have to have a good mana base to play whatever you want.
I appreciate you underlining that, but I was also just talking about, I'm happy first picking Evolving Wilds. Like, you got to get on that level. You got to get to that sicko level of like, I'm taking this fixing highly before you are able to say, yeah, I can just take all the good cards.
But I think, let's say you believe blue's the best color and you want to play these blue control decks, I think the lands are less important. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's where our disagreement comes in as far as they relate to the top commons. Like, you're taking the white exhale or you're taking the red exhale above fixing, probably, right?
Yes. I guess I feel like those cards are more unique than the fixing is currently. Like, I feel like the fixing is abundant enough that I want to take the effects that I feel like are a little bit more unique and necessary, which are the cheap interaction spells.
There is some amount of difficulty, though, like, because you also need the bombs, right? So you mm-hmm. definitely have to pick the bombs ahead of the lands. But like, by the time what I was finding in my drafts is by the time I wanted the cheap interaction and the lands, if I didn't always prioritize the lands, and not always, but more than I wanted to, I found myself having to prioritize lands to be able to cast all my spells.
Well, and early access is not indicative of what's going to happen, but I imagine that you'll be at a table where the blue exhale is underrated and you can get it pick 8, or the white exhale is underrated and you get it pick 8. So like, to your point, take the lands first and then whatever exhales are whipping around the table, scoop those up and you'll be able to cast them because you took the lands.
Yes.
Let's chat about some movers up and movers down.
Okay.
So we've talked enough about the exhales. They are the titular cards for our episode this week, and I just like cannot state enough how much they feel like a core of the format. We haven't talked about the monuments that much.
They're excellent. Love the monuments.
They are not excellent. So this is the cycle of their 2 mana artifacts in each of the five clans, they search up a basic from one of those, the three colors of that clan. And then they each sacrifice later on in the game for some creature effect. The teamer one is by far the best.
Yes.
Six mana sacrifice to get a 5/5. The next one down for me is the Sultai one, which is five mana, make 2/2s. The Abzan one is four mana to make an XX, where X is equal to the highest toughness among creatures you control. And then I think the two Mardu ones, the two Boros ones, the Jeskai and the Mardu one, Mardu makes 3/1/1s with haste and menace until end of turn, and the Jeskai one is 2/1/1 flyers. I don't think those actually matter that much.
I really like the Jeskai one. 2/1/1 flyers is not nothing. The Mardu one, I agree, is the worst.
But the ones that actually like put Chonk on the board, and Teemer one specifically, holy cow, the Teemer Monument is excellent. In conjunction, I want to talk about a card that we chatted about a few weeks ago, which is Iridescent Tiger. This is 4 and a red for a 3/4. When it enters, if you cast it, you add Wooburg. And you were like, well, yeah, sure, the turns where you're going to like dump, you know, you get to go like Tiger into a 5-drop, it's insane. But when you don't, it's not that good. But the monuments give you a thing to do with that mana. Like, getting to go Tiger into crack Teemer Monument on turn 6 is awesome. Also in conjunction with Mammoth Bellow, the Teemer Harmonized spell that makes a 5/5, you can either go Tiger, Wooburg for the front cost, or Tiger is 3 power plus Wooburg, which casts the back half of the Harmonized. So Iridescent Tiger, I think, is real in Teemer decks.
It's Gleamox. You heard it here first.
It is Gleamox. also in conjunction, I didn't realize this, Wayspeaker Bodyguard, 3 and a white, 3/4, uncommon. When it enters, return a non-land permanent card with mana value 2 or less from your graveyard to your hand. Buys back monuments. I've done this multiple times, and that's an awesome thing to get to do.
That feels a little cute rather than super powerful to me, but certainly something to be on the lookout for.
You don't want to rebuy a 5/5?
I'd like to rebuy a 5/5. Don't get me wrong. I'd like to rebuy a 5/5. The other thing, before we get too deep down the movers up, movers down list, one thing I wanted to shout out that I forgot to do is, if you look at our notable commons, there's no aggressive cards on there.
No.
And like, yes, Ethan and I are predisposed to think that way, but I really truly believe we're right about the format being a little slower, the exhales being what you want in your 2-drop slots, interaction being what you want early, as opposed to trying to play to the board early on. You want to clog the board up and play for the late game.
Well, and even some of the, like, we were talking about this, what's the, I forget what it's called, the Botanist, the 2 and a green, or the 1 and a green, 2/3 at uncommon. Like, there's not even really cheap uncommon creatures that I'm like, oh yeah, this is the one. Like, I don't know.
That card's good. I still like that card.
Okay.
If it, your opponent, that forces your opponent to play to the board or have an answer for it. If it goes uncontested, drawing lands is great.
I don't have this on a movers down, but we should talk about the two white commons. One that we didn't touch on last week and one that we argued about last week. So one is Fortress Khingard, 1 and a white, 1/2. When it enters, you endure 1. And the Salt Road Pack Beast, the 5 and a white, 4/3, costs 1 less to cast for each creature you control. And when it enters, you draw a card. They're not on our list. Neither of those cards are on our list of notable commons.
It's funny. I actually think I like Salt Road Pack Beast more after playing than I did prior to playing the format. And I think you've gone down on it, but you were also super high on it.
I was so really high on
it. You probably still think it's a fine card. Like, you're just not, you know, first picking it, or it's not pulling you into white anymore because you don't want to be pulled into white, right?
I don't want to be affect the board white, which is where Salt Road Pack Beast is at its best. Like, if you have to draft that deck, Pack Beast is going to be good in that deck. I just don't want to draft that deck, and I don't think that's a tier one deck right now.
Yes. So what about the 1 and a white, 1/1, and a 1/2?
I think it's important for go wide, like, because you're making two bad creatures that taste bad together.
But it's such a bad card still. Like,
I know.
That's the thing. Like, you have to find ways to make the bodies relevant. And, like, sacking one of them to the black, exile a creature ain't
that's not it.
It. Like, that's not enough. You know what I mean?
Yes, I agree. I just think it takes more work than just drafting good interaction and powerful bombs. Like, making those cards work is harder than the strategy we're talking about, which is just draft removal.
Draft great cards. Draft removal. Draft
cards that don't take work. The white cards take work.
Yes, I agree. The white cards are fussy. They're high maintenance.
Okay. This is a mover up for me, just in the sense of I thought this was going to be terrible, and it's not, I don't think, which is Dragonstorm Forecaster and that package of cards. This is the single blue 03, pay two, tap, search up either the Globe, which is the manalith that pumps dragons, or the five mana dragon that is a 3/3 with vigilance, and when it attacks, you surveil one. Basically, my strategy for this was on the wheel, you'll often get either a Globe or the dragon when you don't have to spend a pick on it. And so speculatively take that when I'm in a blue control deck. And if I get a Forecaster, I'll play the package. And the reason I like the package is because it does two things. One, gives you something to do with your mana while you're holding up your exhales. So you pass with your two mana up to counter something or kill something. You don't have mana you want to spend on that. Cool, use your Forecaster. It also lets you search up a dragon. And as we've talked about, dragons in hand is nice. So getting to search up a dragon and have that sit in your hand, making your exhales better, is also good. Like I said, not like a high pick or anything, not something you need to focus on, but I thought this was going to be unplayable trash, and it's not.
So, question for you, because I haven't played with this yet, haven't seen it yet. How are you playing this with one Globe and one dragon? Like, what mm-hmm. what is the package? Like, do you want more than that of the Globes and the dragons? You want one of each?
My current take is I would like one of each. I don't want more than that because I don't want to draw them.
Right. I would like, but that's the thing. Like, then you're filling your deck with three bad cards, and like, are you putting multiples of one? Like, well, I just haven't found the need to dip into this low of card quality yet.
It depends. Like, how much, again, like with these kinds of cards and this kind of a package, like the more boxes you can check,
yeah,
the better this becomes. So the more exhales you have, the better this is, because yeah, it's a bad dragon you're putting in your deck. So if you draw it, it's not great, but it is a dragon in your hand, and the Forecaster helps you search it up. How much are you splashing? The Globe gets better. Especially, again, the more exhales you have, the Globe gets better, because on turn four, you can cast the Globe, have two mana up. Do you need the fixing? Do you have a lot of dragons that it's going to pump? Like, blah, blah, blah. The more exhales, the more dragons you have, the better this gets.
Yeah, sure. Takes us on to Krumar Initiate. One in a black for a 2/2 at uncommon. You can pay black X, tap it, pay X life to make this creature endure X. Activate only as a sorcery.
We said this was garbage and greater garbage a couple weeks ago. It's not. Like, it is a black card that I don't love that much, but your life total is a resource, and you can make a 3/3 and a 4/4. You can make sack fodder. You can make 1/1s with it. Chump fodder, whatever. Like, this card has enough flexibility that I think this is good.
Next up, we've got Strategic Betrayal. One in a black for an uncommon sorcery. Target opponent exiles a creature they control and their graveyard.
This looked like trash to me. And it's not. Like, have you got
it? I would believe it. I haven't seen it cast yet, but I've imagined, please, like, let my opponents not have this because I have goodies galore in my graveyard.
Right. Well, and I had opponents who, like, set this up nicely, like, bounce a smaller creature and then edict my dragon or whatever. And then, yeah, if there's Harmonize or Renew stuff in your graveyard, it's just gravy. Again, not a high pick, but assumed this would be a D, and I don't think it is.
Champion of Dusan up next, 2 and a green for the 4/2 common with trample. It's got renew for 1 and a green to exile from your graveyard, put a +1/+1 counter and a trample counter on target creature.
Have you seen this?
I haven't, but I would imagine it's fine. Like, it's got 4 power for Harmonize. It trades mm-hmm. with something. It does something when it's in the graveyard. I've played against it and it was annoying.
Maybe green is the key for aggro more than it's like white. Maybe you're just like your Gruul or your Selesnya, but your base green, and something like this is what gets you to push damage. Like a 3-mana 4/2 trample that dies into doing something is good.
Yeah, I'd buy it for sure.
Okay, I'm dumb and I didn't realize what Glacial Dragon Hunt was at its floor. So this is the blue red sorcery, draw a card, then you may discard a card. If you discard a non-land card this way, deal 3 to a creature, and it has Harmonize for 4 blue red. This can just be Think Twice. I didn't realize that. You can just draw a card. I thought you had to discard.
No, it's good.
It's good. This card is just good.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
I know, but if I knew how to read English, then I would have not argued with you about this card. The first time I cast this,
you made me doubt that you were up cards after casting this card twice.
Well, you are eventually. But I also thought that on its front, if, like, on turn 2, there's nothing you want to kill or nothing you want to discard, fine. You can just play two mana draw a card.
Yes.
I thought you had to discard every time. No. You don't. Okay.
Correct. Unending Whisper up next. Speaking of Harmonize being broken. Yeah. This is blue sorcery draw a card. Harmonize, five and a blue. It pairs beautifully with Format All-Star Snowmelt Stag. And normally my Format All-Stars are sarcastic. Not about Snowmelt Stag. That's going to be Format All-Star Snowmelt Stag. And I mean every single syllable.
Yeah. The games go long. You're going to realize, like, much like I think going into Aether Drift, the cycle of Surveyors, I was like, how often are you going to, you have this creature, you get to max speed, and then you pay three when it's in your graveyard to draw a card. It turns out you do that a lot in Aether Drift. Similarly here, I think games go long. You're going to realize the value out of a lot of these Harmonized cards.
Next up, the Cycle of Dragons / Omens at Common. I think those are better than I was giving them credit for. I've moved those up in my pick order so that I'm more likely to end up with them in my deck because of how good the Exhales are. I've been especially impressed with the blue, black, and green, and the black and the green even more so than the blue. I think power rankings go green, black, blue, red, and white are a toss-up.
I like the red one. I like the Thrill of Possibility variant or Tormenting Voice.
So you like that? Yeah. You like that more than the body, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's especially nice as an omen because it's like it's shuffling back in, but after you've like pitched a card, so you get like your deck's just ever so slightly thinner.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the red one.
Okay. Do you like it more than the blue?
No.
I'm pretty firm on like green and black as one and two, I think.
I like the blue one more than the black one, but that's because I feel like the black one is more likely to be a splash in my deck, and I'm not less jazzed about splashing the black common dragon.
But regardless, I think these are better than you probably think they are.
Dragons in hand. Like it's a spell that's a dragon in hand.
Yes.
A two mana cantrip that's a dragon in your hand. That's valuable. If you're of the mind that the exhales are really good, which you should be.
Yes. Bewildering Blizzard, four blue for an instant, draw three cards. Creatures your opponents control get -3/-0 until end of turn. This card is bonkers.
This card is incredible.
Yeah. Like
it's fog draw three is basically what it is. But when it's like fog draw three and I get to eat one of your creatures, it's amazing. And you can do it on attacks, like attack with your stag and your opponent goes, oh, yeah, sure, I'll trade with my 2/2. Nope.
Yeah, but Bewildering Blizzard is a B+ or something like a B. Yeah. It's insanely good in the format.
Mm hmm.
Cruel Truths has also been super impressive. It's 3 and a black for an instant, surveil 2, draw 2, you lose 2 life. This is Black's version of Focus the Mind. And I think a thing to be aware of, and there's just a lot of card advantage, but you want more of it than you would think. Like I love drawing cards and ended a couple drafts early on like, man, I wish I'd picked another Focus the Mind or whatever. So you can go overboard, but you don't want to go underboard, I guess, on the card advantage.
I think you want two. Like, usually I'd be like, one draw three is good. I think you want two at least.
And maybe three.
And maybe three. Yeah. Like, two, like a Blizzard and a Focus the Mind. Two Focus the Minds and a Blizzard. I think four is probably pushing it. 2 to 3, I think, is the sweet spot.
Yeah, and if you aren't blue, Cruel Truths is what you get. And Focus the Mind is better than Cruel Truths, but Cruel Truths has been much better than I would have thought it would have been. We shouted out War Effort earlier, been very impressed with that. Dragon Brood's Relic, we should talk about. One in a green for an uncommon. You can tap an untapped creature you control to add one mana of any color. You were a buyer on this. I was not so much. The thing that I missed is, let's say you're base blue-green, and you're double splashing black and red to touch Sultai and Temur together, like you're splashing gold cards, without having to try to account for a full Wooburg mana base, this then splashes the fifth color itself. So you really only have to have four sources, like four different sources before this is turned on, and seven mana, because presumably you're using a creature to help you get to the eighth mana. This card's been very impressive. The one thing that I don't like about it is you do have to play to the board early to turn it on. Like there is some tension there.
Right. That's what I was going to say is like, I'm actually a little lower on it. Like I still like it as a card, but I found myself, I can't include it in many decks again, because my decks have like eight creatures in them.
Yeah. But I think if you're heavy green, you're going to have more normal creature range. And I do think it's good there.
Synchronized Charge is the last card on our movers up list. This is one in a green sorcery. Distribute 2 counters among 1 or 2 target creatures you control. Creatures you control with counters on them gain vigilance and trample until end of turn, and it has harmonize for four and a green. Your travel preparations comparison is excellent, but this is better than travel preparations.
Because it's got harmonize, and harmonize is broken.
Well, and what I didn't realize, again, is that like the play pattern of you can dump two counters on a thing.
Attack.
Then use that large thing to pay this harmonize cost for two or one to dump the counters on another thing. It's really good.
It's really good.
Yeah, if you got to play to the board, Synchronized Charge is legit.
Movers down, Sibsig Appraiser. And I agree with this, came to this conclusion independently, which was good to see also. This is two and a blue for the 2/1. Then I just look at the top two, put one of them in your hand and the other into your graveyard. It's just too small ball for the format. And also like aggressively thins your deck, which you don't necessarily want. Like,
I'm less concerned about that aspect, but it's just like, it truly is Organ Hoarder at home. Like, it's not like in the sense of that meme where you're like, I want this thing. And your mom's like, oh, we have that at home. Like, Sibsig Appraiser ain't it at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to cut. You're just not picking it highly. Do you think you're ever leaving this in the sideboard?
Yes, I do.
Wow. That's tough for me to wrap my brain around. But it is cool to see that like card for like best blue common auto include is not that, I don't think.
Yeah. It just like, because the 2/1 body doesn't matter. Like, it's basically 3 mana, look at the top two, put one in your hand, put the other into your yard. That's not a good card. Like, it doesn't actually feel like a 2/1.
That's fair. Yeah.
We talked about this, some of the black cards I don't like. We talked about Einok Wayfarer, the hybrid uncommon. I was like, again, this is one of my pillars of the format. You're going to take Stormbroods highly because they're flexible. You're going to take hybrid uncommons because they're flexible. You currently don't need to do that, because there's so much fixing. And the hybrid part of the appeal for the hybrid uncommons was that lets you delay the decision, gives you pivot points between enemy color pair decks. And yeah, I'm paying a little bit of a premium on mana, but I'm making up for that with flexibility. I think the mana, picking the fixing highly, is what lets you do that. And I think a lot of the hybrid uncommons I don't particularly care about. Because
interesting.
Like, if they make that, like, if I end up in the clan, sure, I'll play it, but I'm less interested in, oh, it's a speculative pick and maybe I'll play it for 4 mana in my Boros or my Orzhov deck. Like, I just don't care about them in that respect.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about what you're saying, because I still like, I'm looking at the cards right now and I still like them as cards. Like, Khentri Severance is a good card, like, but the Abzan exile thing with mana value 3 or greater.
I thought I would be taking these cards really high. And so maybe it's just a difference of where we came in on them.
Yes.
But I'm taking, I think, like, all of the my 10 notable commons over them. Like, I'm taking Evolving Wilds over them. I'm taking the exhales that I like over them. And I did not think, and so maybe it's a product of some things moving up and some things moving down. But what I was liking about the hybrid uncommons in terms of their flexibility in the draft, I don't feel like they provide that.
I agree. I agree. They're still, I think that's a good place to land, is that they are still good cards, but they don't really add power to your draft through giving your draft flexibility, because you're just able to be flexible in the draft by drafting well.
Right. And so then once they come to you and you're like, oh yeah, my mana can support casting this and it's a powerful card I want.
Yes.
Sure, I'll take it. But I'm basically never taking these pack one, pick one.
Yes, I agree with that, I think.
Embermouth Sentinels. Sorry to Golden Egg lovers out there, but I do not think this will be it. This is the 2-mana 2/1 artifact. Searches up a land when it comes into play. If you control a dragon, you put it into play, but otherwise it goes on top. The body is too irrelevant, and I think there's way better fixing than this. I'm not looking to play this.
Yes, I agree.
Similarly, Encroaching Dragonstorm, I came in really hot on this. 3 and a green enchantment, search up 2 basics, pick it up when you play a dragon. I think there's just a lot of fixing, and you don't need something that's 4 mana and doesn't affect the board and makes you tap out at sorcery speed. That's my take on this card right now.
I don't know. I've been pretty impressed with the Dragon Storms. I think I disagree on this one, but okay. I also might be colored by the fact that my brother savagely owned me with this card last night.
Okay.
He had this and the Teemer Mythic Rare that deals 3 to all creatures and then landfall, make 2/4/4s. So like was able
that's
to then
pretty crazy. Yeah.
Pick this up and then make a 4/4 and the 4/4s triggered this up and then it would make 2 more 4/4s, trigger the Dragon Storm. It was pretty sick.
I guess I'll say the caveat is like, you just really have to have the 1-2 punch with this.
Yes.
So what you're talking about, that qualifies. You got to go Dragon Storm into a thing. It can't be like Dragon Storm into 4-drop plus a 3-drop. Like, I don't think that's enough.
I agree. Another thing that is a mover down for me is just leave the graveyard synergy stuff. Like, you and I were very hot and bothered in the crash course about Kishla Skimmer, blue-green for the 2-2 flyer. When a card leaves your graveyard during your turn, draw a card. This ability triggers only once each turn. Like, yes, that stuff will happen, and it's good when it does, but I don't think you should plan on, like, trying to build a blue-green cards leave my graveyard deck. Similarly, Essence Anchor, 2 and a blue for the, at the beginning of your upkeep, surveil 1, it's an artifact. You can tap it to make a 2-2 zombie when something leaves your graveyard. If that stuff, like, I think I'm just out on Essence Anchor. You'll play Kishla Skimmer in your blue-green decks.
I like Essence Anchor.
Do you? Interesting.
I'm not as high as I was last week on it, to be clear.
Like, yeah, it's fine. Like, if it fits, you'll play it. You're never building around it, though. It's like a reward rather than a reason. And last week, I would have thought it was a reason.
Well, and I'm honestly just more interested in...
Surveil one every turn
in my control decks. And, like, if I've got... And I'm going to have harmonized cards in those decks. And, like, if I get a 2-2 or 2-2s out of this over the course of a long game, that's... I'm happy with that.
That's fair. I think... But just to hammer home a point, like... Again, Essence Anchor, Kishla Skimmer is synergy. Like, you're trying to put together pieces that are ultimately, like, just doing what cards like playing some exhales and then casting a Focus the Mind does intrinsically. Like, you don't have to go after the small ball synergy stuff when there are just great cards to play in the format.
Yep.
100 Battle Veteran, huge point for you. I co-sign everything you said about this card. Just doesn't matter. This is the 3 and a black, 4-2. If there are 3 or more different counters, this gets +2/+4, and you can cast it from your graveyard. If you do, it comes back with a finality counter. Just doesn't matter at all in the format.
Yep.
And then Rakshasa's Bargains, another one. This kind of dovetails with what we were talking about with the hybrid uncommons. This is a good card, but it's just not very unique. It's the Sultai Tubrid instant. Look at the top 4, put 2 of them in your hand and the rest in your graveyard. Focus the Mind is basically this card at common in a single color. So, like, that was an adjustment for me because I was really high on Rakshasa's Bargain, and then Focus the Mind started to creep up for me, and then I was like, oh, I guess that pulls down Rakshasa's Bargain, or that they need to end up in a similar place somehow.
Right. Yeah, yeah. As a nice bookend to the crash course, so we round out with our 5 format truths, take 2, before the set goes live tomorrow.
Yeah, now that we've played with the cards and actually know what's going on. But to be clear, I feel great about the picture we painted in the crash course. If people don't get a chance to listen to this before playing with the cards.
So number one is raw power is more important than synergy. Like, everything we're talking about, of like the cards that require you to set some things up versus the cards that just do what they say. Like, the cards that do what they say are better.
Yes. Card advantage, fixing, bombs, cheap interaction, those are the keys to the format. Making sure that you have card advantage, have cheap interaction, have bombs, and have the ability to cast all those things, you're going to have a great time. Now, if you have those things and you don't have the ability to cast them on time or consistently, then you're going to run into some problems.
Number 3, Teemer is the best clan, and blue-green is the best enemy color pair.
Love to see it. If you want to be aggressive, you have to go wide. But going wide isn't enough in and of itself. You have to have ways to take advantage of having gone wide consistently.
Right. So whether that's War Effort, whether that's the 1-3 flyer, but just ways that going wide with tokens, ostensibly, is going to be beneficial to you. And the last point here, get a pot on the stove because this format is soupy. This is not the inside out format that we thought. This is not the base 2 color enemy color pair with a light splash format that we thought. I'm going in expecting to cook.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going in expecting to cook too. You can still build those decks too, but I also don't want people to just go hog wild with their mana. Even in your soup decks, you're still base 2 colors, right?
Color is a construct at this point for me.
Color is a construct. Mr. Stephen Colbert, I don't see color over here.
I mean, look, that's good advice. It just feels less narrow than that. Than I thought it was going to be.
Yes, I agree that the format, if we're talking about adjustments from last week, the format is much soupier than I would have expected last week. But like, you've also seen the decks that exist even in our Discord among enfranchised listeners. Like,
correct,
we get some decks that are like, how did this happen? And it's because, well, they're like, well, Ethan and Ben told me I could play whatever I wanted. Like, no, your soup decks are still largely going to be base two colors. I don't care what you say about that's not true color.
That's true.
You're going to have two drops in two main colors or exhales. Your interaction early is going to be in two main colors, maybe three. And you're going to have great sources for all those because you're going to have drafted a good deck.
Yeah.
You can't just do whatever you want. You have to be responsible with your mana. But you,
that's less fun to say, though.
I agree. That's less fun to say. I'm ruining the end of our format takeaways. But I just want to caution people going into the format that they do need to be responsible with their mana.
So, listeners, take a deep breath, let out a nice exhale, go forth and draft.
And on that note, thank you as always to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
You can find all of our content on our website, lordsoflimited.com. We've got an updated tier list, courtesy of Ben. You can check that out. You can check out our YouTube channel, our Twitch streams, respectively. We'll be grinding out the content over the coming weeks for Tarkir Dragonstorm. Our merch, courtesy of TeePublic, our Patreon page, if you're interested. All of that's at lordsoflimited.com.
If you've got any feedback about the show or any questions, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.